Hello, welcome to Talking Europe. My guest today heads an institution that you might not have heard of, but one that is actually very important in holding EU institutions to account. The EU Ombudsman was established in the early 1990s, and despite its name, it's actually been led by two women now. We're pleased to welcome Teresa Anjinho, who has headed this body since February of this year. She's a Portuguese politician from the Christian Democratic CDS party, a former Secretary of State for Justice in the Portuguese government, and a former Deputy Ombudswoman of Portugal. She was a member of the Supervisory Committee of OLAF, the European Anti-Fraud Office, and she's also a noted legal scholar in her own right. Teresa Anjinho joins me at the European Parliament in Strasbourg, and it's actually this Parliament which elects the Ombudsman or woman every 5 years. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
So you've now been in the job for a few months. How do you see the main priorities then of this mandate shaping up?
Thank you very much, first of all, for having me here as an almost newly elected European Ombudswoman. It's true, so I'm the second woman in this role that started in 95. If I may, I will start by saying, before going to the challenges which are very important, with a little bit of what is the mission of the European Ombudsman. The European Ombudsman is mainly the guardian of good administration that is related to European institutions, bodies, offices and agents. Whenever a citizen has a problem with the European institutions, broadly speaking, can address the European Ombudsman with its complaint. And it covers a very wide range of issues, from, you know, a French citizen that is not content with the fact that it's not able to have access to a document that is important, for example, for informed participation in decision making, or a Polish student that is not happy with the funding for his research project and the reply that he received, or, for example, someone from Greece that wants to work for a European Union institution and is not being able or not happy with the recruitment process. So we are mainly focused on complaint, and we are a solution-driven institution.
I was going to ask you about complaints, because in the last report, the number of complaints actually increased from 95 in 2021 to 212 last year. Is that because people are more aware of their rights, that they can make these complaints, or because objectively the problems of transparency have got worse in the institutions?
So let's look first at the bright side. If we have a raise of complaints, this is positive because in a way people are aware of the existence of the office and also aware of their rights. Now the not so bright, that is, well, if they are complaining, is because what we are promising in terms of participation and guaranteeing that citizens are part of the European project is not being complied. It's the, let's say, the gap between the expectations and the conferrals. And you rightly pointed out to a very important issue that is related to transparency. We did have a raise in terms of 42.2% of complaints last year related to transparency and mainly access to documents. And let's put it like that, I think we can have, and we do have, room for improvement. And the complaints show that in terms of access to documents, but also in terms of, for example, public participation. When it comes to access to documents, I mean, it is clear that we need a framework that is more compliant with the needs of the citizens. It is access to documents go end in end with transparency, public participation, and a stronger democracy.
I mean, you're obviously a bit limited, if I may say, because the European Commission can always say, well, we're not going to give this information because it would harm ongoing decision making. And then you get the information later when it's too late for a lot of people, right?
Very well. So you're touching some important contentious questions related to the application of the regulation that is called the 1049 regulation that is applicable to access to documents, where the Commission can use the exceptions. But this is the main message. The default is transparency. The rule is transparency. The exceptions must be used very well with huge scrutiny. And this is why there are institutions, as the European Ombudsman Office, but also the European Court, with specific competence to look into what the Commission is giving or not giving and how they use the exceptions. Allow me just this precision, because it's important for the people that are hearing us. why the European Ombudsman is such an important institution dealing with access to documents. We actually inspect every document that is being refused to a citizen that wants to have access. So in a way, we act as a bridge builders. That is what, well, let's say, characterizes this institution between citizens and institutions, giving with impartiality but also sound and independent arguments in when it comes to interpretation of citizens' rights and duties of the institutions.
You had your first meeting, I believe, with President von der Leyen on June the 4th. Did you talk about whether she was going to provide her text messages about the vaccine contracts? Because it's obviously a crucial issue of transparency for the EU public.
Very important question, if you may. So when I was actually running, I said that the success of my mandate will very much depend on the success of the dialogue that I entail with institutions. This is exactly what I'm doing. It's to guarantee that they know my mandate as the bridge builder that I'm referring to, and that they also trust me. This is what I'm doing. I met President von der Leyen, I met President António Costa, and also Roberta Metsola. All very important meetings, and also the Secretary General of the Commission. In all of these meetings, it was for me very important to follow a kind of guideline of my worries related to topics that are important for citizens, namely transparency. And of course, I did approach the need for the Commission to adopt its rules and apply the rules that being compliant with the European Court of
but
Justice.
She didn't tell you if she was going to publish the texts or not then?
Well, we have to see that, right? So this is something that, for me, what is most important is to pass the message that this is a very important issue for my office. The ruling of the court was very clear in terms of good administration, not so much in the identification of the text messages or documents or not, but let's say that implicitly it did recognize that text messages are documents. And this is important to guarantee that the system is well done in terms of, let's say, record management when it comes to the recording and the retention of messages. And the court was clear. The Commission should have done more in saying if it has or not the messages it deleted automatically or not, change the mobile. So these are questions that will have to be addressed by the Commission, and hopefully they are committed to address and be compliant with the court cases.
You've spoken about the importance of responsible and transparent lobbying, and yet this institution, the European Parliament, seems to be hit by scandals periodically, Qatar Gate, Huawei Gate, and so on. Is this all because we still don't have an independent ethics body that was promised at the time of Qatar Gate?
So let me be very clear. We do have an integrity framework, and many institutions are doing their best and their efforts in order to strengthen this integrity framework. However, when we have scandals like the Qatar Gate and Huawei, that is actually pending case in the Belgian courts, well, what happens is it damages the trust and the reputation of the European Union as a whole, and you forget about all the efforts that the institutions are doing to be compliant with these high standards of integrity as an armor of democracy. This said, after Qatar Gate, there was a number of things that were actually done by the European Parliament, and one of the things that was announced was the Independent Ethics Body. I believe it is a good idea because it establishes a body that is competent to have common standards between all institutions, council inclusive. However, what the citizens should recognize as well is that this independent ethics body does not have the competence to receive complaints. But there are important institutions that have this competence, namely
like
the
yours.
European Ombudsman.
Yeah.
And this is what I would like to pass as the main message. It's not that the European Union does not have a framework. It does. And I actually aim to guarantee that my office is recognized as a reference institution for integrity issues. Exactly for this reason, I'm going to start an own initiative inquiry related to revolving doors, for example.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, and of course that's very important. It's to do with integrity and whether people who served in the institutions go seamlessly into other jobs. Are they actually respecting this so-called cooling off period? What have you found so far, or are they in breach of those requirements?
Let's see. This is exactly why I announced. So we are now in the process of the methodology, which is actually very important if you want results, to guarantee that you know the state of the art. I believe that as important is to have a framework is to see how it is being implemented. It's the so-called gap between theory and practice. And as we recognize that this is actually a severe reputational issue for the European Union institutions, and also because we have to understand how important integrity is to guarantee a robust democracy, that all citizens are able at all time to distinguish the ones that are serving the private interests and the public interest. This is a really important question of accountability.
Just one final point. We're running out of time, but you've also got an inquiry going on into how a legislative proposal was put together on the simplification measures known as the omnibus, and I think civil society has been very concerned about this. Are you worried about transparency issues in general as the EU focuses on this whole simplification agenda?
Very much. So this is also a question of transparency and accountability and a clear framework for citizens to understand how the decision-making process is established from the beginning till the end. Citizens need to know how the decision-making is being done, who is being consulted, if it is not, and why, right, with the documents that are available as well. In terms of the omnibus packages, what I will be seeing and what I will be analysing is, of course, the procedural fairness. Again, I'm not looking into the politics of it, but it's very important to look at the legitimacy of that politics, and this brings us to the procedural fairness. In this case, it was the impact assessment that, well, is being challenged, as well as the public participation and the climate consistency analysis. And I will be doing that. I opened the inquiry, and hopefully by the end of the year, let's see, I will reach the necessary conclusions of the complaint.
We'll stay updated on that. Thank you so much being my guest, Therese Anginio, the Ombudswoman of the European Union. That's all for this edition of Talking Europe. Glad you could join us.